If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with two people who have been on the show a few times each, I guess, but it's been a while, and the band we're talking about on this episode is not a band that has ever been on the podcast, although I feel like I'm very familiar with what you guys did back in the day. I saw you live a million times, and I have the albums and all that stuff, so it's very exciting to hear that Subsidy is coming back for one-off show. That's all it is right now, right? Just a one time going out with a reunited bang?
A one night only.
Cool. And so I think the best way to start this off, because there's a lot to talk about with this show happening and some of the history of the band and all that stuff, but let's just do a quick, who are you and what do you do in the band, just so listeners can put a name to the voice.
I'm Daryl Riley. I've been with Subsidy since the second show, as the story goes. I showed up at the first show and watched the boys the group play, I should say. And after the show, I went up to them and I loudly proclaimed that I was in the band now. And I've been in the band ever since. So
right on.
I've been rocking the saxophone.
What an audition. Well, it was an audition. He was actually auditioning us at that first show. Yeah. My name's Johannes. I did play that show and I was not present when Daryl came up and approached us. It was him and Andy Bloom, I think. Came up to us. You're both playing in the AFT at the time. That's how I'd met you. And you guys both came up and said, "Oh yeah, we're in this band now." Yeah, that's all right. It was one of those punk versus ska shows at the Weston Cultural Center way back in the day. We played four songs and crammed it in. And that was fun times. It was kind of off and running after that.
Well, I think that whole story there, I mean, that kind of shows how long this band has been a thing. I mean, I know there was some time off, obviously, between, the end of the band and then this reunion show, but when did it actually start? Like, what year does this project go back to?
2002.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's like a lifetime ago because, we're, I don't feel like we're getting old. We're still pretty potent musicians over here Yeah, somehow it goes back 22 years ago. That's crazy. But we were very young back then. I mean, like, some of us were 17.
Yeah.
Still in high school.
Yeah, that is crazy. It is crazy to think about, yeah. So when did it end then? When was the actual... Because you guys were around for a while. You did a lot of touring. You played a lot of shows. You put out, three albums and a live album?
You got it.
So what's the time frame there from 2002 to when?
You remember this, Daryl?
The anniversary of our last show was actually, we're taping this on the 18th. So what was it? March 12th, 2012?
I think it was March 9th, 2012 was our last.
March 9th, 2012. Yeah. So
because we've got, like you mentioned, one of our albums is a live album. And, it's maybe the best kind of taste of what Subsidy was if you weren't around back then. If you're trying to play catch up for this show, listen to the live album. It's on Spotify and all the streaming services. And it's kind of got like a little bit more, when we went to the studio, we tried to really flex and see what we can do. We'd still do it live off the floor. That was always something we did out of pride. But that live album really captured a lot of it. And so that was March 9th, 2012 was the finale as we knew it. And then we tried to do it again 4 years ago.
Yeah, and that was really exciting because it had been, I guess 8 years at that point since you'd been a band, and there was a bunch of hype about it. And then, of course, like, the world came to a halt with COVID. And I think it was, if I'm remembering correctly, it was like right around the time the show was supposed to happen too, right? Didn't the world shut down like right before?
We pretty much had everything ready to go. It was like 2 weeks before the show. We'd spent, you know, 5 months preparing and then maybe, you know, like 2 months in rehearsals and had everything lined up. You know, when we were a band back in the day, it wasn't, social media wasn't a big thing, and certainly streaming services wasn't a thing. And so we kind of played catch up that way. We got ourselves on all the streaming services. We kind of fired up social media and we had everything going. And then 2 weeks before the show, that's when shit hit the fan, and nobody knew what was going on, right? It's like, oh, we'll postpone it 2 weeks. It'll be good.
Well, I thought I'd be home from work for 2 weeks, and I'm still working from home in my day job. So yeah, it's a thing for sure.
Well, we went into YMFM and did the live session that we were talking about, that Wanted track earlier. I think that was before we started recording, but we were talking about Wanted that we just released, a couple days ago?
It was really nice for that.
So we went into UMFM. It was like the last thing that we were going to do to really like put the icing on the cake for the, we had a double bill booked Friday night at the West End, Saturday night at the Albert with a bunch of awesome bands.
Yeah.
And the UMFM was going to be the icing on the cake. We did the recording, and I can remember we went out after the recording and we were talking about it. Really? I don't know. There still hasn't been a case even in the province at this point. It was like the next morning was the first case in Manitoba, and then like 4 days later the world shut down.
That sucks.
Yeah, you know, it was nice this time around because it was very turnkey with this promotion. You know, as like Daryl said, we had those UMFM live sessions that Marty from Look Smart filmed and David Dobbs recorded and Kyle Monkman mixed and mastered, and the Wanted track came out just today, actually.
Yeah.
And today that we're recording the market,
right, yeah. Yeah.
Check it out. And some really nice living proof that we are back. And it was really nice. We were able to kind of jump back in pretty quickly. You know, the set list was already written and everybody was on board. We just kind of had to figure out some of the details, the where and when's kind of things. Otherwise, it was all pretty turnkey this time around. It was really nice.
Was it always going to happen? Like, did you, even once the first one got canceled, was there any kind of like, maybe we missed our shot, this is over now? Or did you always want to find a way to make it happen when shows became available again?
Yeah, I think it was always going to happen. It was just a matter of when. You know, we thought we were going to delay it 2 weeks and then 6 months and then a couple of years. We're like, oh, maybe the reunion show should be 10 years after. Then, you know, life gets in the way just like it did back 12 years ago when we disbanded. It was okay, let's do this. And then, you know, eventually just it's looming there and like, guys, let's do this. And initially when we were gonna reunite, it was pretty low hanging fruit to come back to it. You know, it was no giant revelation that anybody had, let's do this again. It was like, you know, we're all still friends, a lot of us are still playing in bands together. Let's do this. We still like these songs, it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Was there go ahead.
I was going to say, I think there was definitely a moment there when we didn't really know where the world was going to go. You know, it seemed like that cycle of lockdowns and alerts and what have you, it was kind of seemingly endless for a while.
Yeah.
So I was definitely, I had like faith that we would eventually make it happen, but it was pretty crushing when we initially had to make that call.
I believe it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was sad to see too, because there was so much excitement around it, and people hadn't heard you in almost a decade at that point. So, I mean, I guess it's cool now that, you know, there's a little bit more of a wait, but it's happening.
The man said, wearing his big boots, next time you'll be dead. Now I did not shoot no man, no I did not rob no bank. A failure in timing is all I had to thank. Cause now I'm wanted, wanted. They gotta look out for my name. Better keep running. Don't wanna play the dirty game. Cause now I'm wanted, wanted. They gotta look out for my name. Better keep running. Don't wanna play the dirty game. Getting near, you can't get away from us. They scream with their threats and fears. Are your words they're scamming on? I know I've done nothing wrong. My joints tired, I'm getting slower. I hope I'll make it to dawn.
You mentioned the live album earlier, and one of the things I like about that record is that it, first of all, the track listing is huge. Like, there's a lot of songs on that album, and it definitely, I think, encompasses kind of all the wide range of sounds that you had as a band. I mean, I think that, you know, we started off very, very heavily rooted in this local ska scene, but that sort of changed and grew and developed, and then your sound, you know, you took on all these different styles. Where does this, I mean, I know it's a one-off show, but where does, you know, a band like Sub City fit in Winnipeg in 2024? Like, is there, if you existed as like a permanent band at this point, do you think there are other bands that kind of would fit what you do, or would you be like a unicorn mixing those styles the way you did?
I think we would fit very well in a void in between a bunch of scenes. there's fragments of what Sub City did in a bunch of different scenes. It was hard to pigeonhole the band back then, and it would be hard to now as things have kind of progressed further online, and people try and label even further now, and try and put bands in boxes and label them with by their social media. And so, yeah, it would be tough to see where we'd fit, but I think there's a big empty void for it right in the middle.
It's a pretty good answer, actually. I like how you managed to avoid actually labeling it. And now I'm going to make you guys label it, though. What did you call it when people, you know, back when it was an active band and people said, hey, you're in this band, how did you define it? Because, I mean, you know, I think that the obvious answer a lot of people would give is, oh, it was a ska band. But it wasn't. I mean, that was an element. Reggae was an element. Soul was an element. Funk rock was an element. and on, right? So did you have like a way to, like a Coles Notes way to describe what the sound of Subsidy was?
DJ Baker, our bass master, has a line in one of his songs that said, soul, reggae, rock and roll. And I always thought that that kind of encapsulated, aside from kind of like the punk rock ethic that the band had in terms of how we approached touring and a lot of even songwriting and how we kind of saw things in the world. But yeah, the kind of like reggae, soul, rock and roll. I was, we'll just, you know, name all the genres and make it one. We're good.
You know, punk reggae was one, but that even then, like anytime you're going to put a label on it, you're going to like, we played dance hall, we played boogaloo, we played all sorts of different genres. So it's certainly hard to put a label on it, but the ska band, you know, it really pigeonholes it. But as far as the composition of the band, you know, like horns and keyboards and, you know, upbeat dancing music, you know, it paints a picture. Unfortunately, the third wave of ska kind of left a little bit of a questionable taste in a lot of people's mouths. So anytime you mention ska, there's kind of a little bit of a aversion from listeners. But that's a good place to start. I think people, a lot of people still have that really you know, just kind of base connection to that kind of music when they hear it live. You know, it's dancing music. It can be rebel music. It's something to bring people together, and it's something to pack the dance floor. So I try not to fret away from being called a ska band. But you know, I'd say only like 20-30% would be ska. So that'd be a bad label. It'd be closer to say it's I don't know, some kind of it's a punk band trying to play rhythm and blues. I have no idea. We had this trouble back then, and we have this trouble now labeling the band. But it's also a good thing. I think people don't want to label things as much as you know, the industry forces them to nowadays.
Yeah, I always saw myself more as a rock and roller than a punk. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I think the punk side of things, as an audience member, it came from the sort of attitude on stage. I mean, it was very, very, not aggressive, but very high energy shows, like extremely high energy shows. And I think that was sort of the punk element of it for me anyway. Watching you guys, it was that kind of like very in your face, sort of powerful live part of it.
It was borderline aggressive.
But, you know, some of the ska influences that we tapped into were definitely huge on the band, you know, like the Specials, the Slackers, you know, the Clash.
Yeah.
You know, so that's definitely was like a core part of who we were or who we are.
Right. I know you had this plan 4 years ago, and like you said, you did all the rehearsals for it and everything like that, but you know, it's been four more years. You've been able to get together now and rehearse for this show. Was it muscle memory at this point with these songs, or was there a lot of sort of relearning just because you've had so much time in between the band breaking up in the first attempt and then now again the second attempt at reuniting?
There's variable degrees for everybody, I think. You know, there's like somebody's asked me about this the other day, and like I think LA is a great example. LA, our drummer, is a school teacher. He's a music teacher now. Okay. So he plays trumpet, he plays acoustic guitar, but for like the 12 years that we haven't been a band, he really hasn't touched the drum kit. But that musicianship is so ingrained in what he does every day that it came back very quickly to him.
Okay.
But that's a very, very particular example. I mean, and then you got DJ Baker on bass. He, you know, he's been practicing his chops and keeping up. He's a much better musician than he was back in the day. And he was one of the best of us back in the day, but he, you know, he plays softer music now. So even him, he's got to relearn how to scream, you know, he's got to relearn how to howl some of those parts because, you know, folk music could be much more subdued. And, you know, K-Mac, Daryl, myself, I realized I didn't actually answer your first question. I'm Johannes. I'm the singer and guitar player, or one of the singers.
That's right. You didn't. I didn't even realize that because we just got right into it, but that's cool. Yeah. Thank you for doing that.
K-Mac, myself, and Daryl, you know, we've been playing in bands together for the last 12 years since Subsidy. And so, you know, that came back really naturally. And I like to think that we're all a lot better musicians than we were back in the day. You know, it's hard to replicate that kind of tightness that you get after going on tour a bunch as a band, and you know, transitions between songs, just being able to read each other on stage, that's kind of a hurdle. But as far as how the songs are sounding, it's, I mean, the musicianship is better than it was back in the day. I would say so.
That's cool.
To make
I was kind of amazed at the way that parts came back to people. Even like Robbie, the trombone, he hasn't, you know, been playing as much trombone over the last decade, but he rolls into rehearsal and he knows. He always has had this ability that I don't have to remember exactly where, you know, each tiny little horn fill is, and every part is. He just has like a fantastic muscle memory for that kind of stuff, and it really still came back. We get together for our rehearsal. It was what, the last night in January, or it was the first Friday in February. We got together and just like hung out and played a bunch of music and got to know each other again. And the parts were just there for the most part. We have to fine tune some things, obviously. Sure. But
what was the song selection like? I mean, as far as putting together a set list, because you do have, you know, you were around for a long time. You have a pretty decently large catalog, not to mention covers and other stuff you've done over the years.
Yeah, there was some obvious ones, and then there's a lot to fill in the middle. But there's luckily we had that live album from the final show there that we kind of used as a foundation. You know, there are songs, you know, some of our, you know, favorite songs / you know, the songs we were known for, they were all on there. So we kind of used that as a foundation, kind of build off there. What's missing? What's in between? What do we want to do again? Yeah, it was pretty tough. You got to, you know, in our heyday, we had five different singers, and we played every genre under the sun as long as it was kind of, you know, alternative to what was happening on mainstream radio. And so it was fun to select. And then this time around, like I said, it's turnkey. You know, we had the set list written. We didn't have to have any of those chats.
Yeah.
Subsidy was always a very democratic band back in the day, having, you know, 6 to 8 members. And so I'm sure we did some type of voting system on what we would play this time, but we didn't revisit that at all this time. It was like, oh, this is the set list, you know, from 4 years ago when we were going to do this, and let's do this. And I think that's the reason why, you know, kind of everybody's coming to play right now, is because, you know, it's not like Subsidy ever made it big, but that was still, you know, a legacy band for all of our musical careers. And so everybody wants to do it justice, and everybody knows, hey, like, we're not going to keep on doing this. We're coming back. We're doing this one show. Let's nail it. And so it's really admirable to see all your buddies and bandmates come back and really roll themselves into it. And yeah, it's sounding great.
Well, and you'll see probably a lot of people in the crowd that you know as well, right? I mean, I think I imagine for a show like this, a big part of the audience is going to be people who remember you from, you know, the first time around. You might get some new people as well, but I would imagine that most people who are excited about seeing Subsidy are people who have seen Subsidy, you know, 10, 12,
and they'll
15.
All bring their kids.
Yeah, that's right.
It's crazy, actually, the response. We've had multiple people buy tickets from out of province, like plane tickets to fly in for the show. I never imagined that. And
there's people from BC and Alberta for sure. You know, that's really humbling. That's cool. So we know we got to put on a show for them. And we played those towns a lot. And so, or those provinces a lot. So that's really cool to see.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Is gonna live, the West is surely going to die. Oh yeah. town, but I'm looking all around, and I don't see my own town no more. No, I don't see my own town no more. Looks like it's been all flipped off this crown and tossed all around. Crumpled the shakedown. And I called my friend, I said, hey man, so what I gotta do? What should I do? You gotta tell me, man, what should I do? I know I could tell you, I could tell you what I wanted to. Well, I could sure tell you that. So all I wanna do, yeah, all I wanna do, yeah, all I wanna do. Say all I wanna do, man, is freak out. Well, it's a soul rising coming up the eastern border. And if we let it go till the morning, we're sure to reach the western shores.
Oh, yeah.
But if we can't get it to stop, we'll have to spin it 10 times or more. We're singing, oh, no.
I mean, is the one-off thing like a for sure? Or what happens if this goes way better than you even expect? Is there any possibility of this becoming a more frequent sort of get-together? Or are you just completely sold on the one-time-only deal?
We're not completely sold, but I think now we're considering this just a one-off. Let's do this one-off. Let's put everything in there. And not just us, but also for the crowd. We don't like... don't give people another chance, otherwise they might decide neither. You know, it's just like let's do this one time, everybody's got to be there, or
you're
not gonna see it. You gotta
we don't want to turn into like a KISS reunion tour every 2 years sort of deal there.
Yeah, there's an appeal to that for people who want to see KISS every couple of years, and as they continually get older and worse at their instruments, I assume. But yeah.
But I hate that fake billing that bands do when last tour ever, and then the next. And it's so many bands do it, and I get it; it's a marketing gimmick or whatever. This is real, and I think, like Ian said, if I don't know, whatever, if something happens and we decide we want to get together again and play music somewhere down the line, I'm not saying we never will.
Yeah,
but there's no plans for it.
Right, and we already do, you know, like Daryl and I play in a couple bands together, K-Mac and I play in a couple bands together. We're all getting those connections out, and so this is one time where, you know, all six of us from kind of, you know, we all lead very different lives right now, and I don't want to go through this scheduling again. It's crazy to schedule like six grown ass adults who all have different lives and kids and careers and all that stuff and commitments, and you know, like there was back in the day, it was like, you know, Wednesday night was rehearsal night. The Sub-City was the, you know, the most important part of all of our lives.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful to have been in a band where, you know, there's like six or eight people where that was their main focus. It was really cool to be a part of. But now it can be very, very tough to get everybody in the same room. And so that's why we're all committed to doing it this one time. And certainly not a promise that we'll do it again. But So we all...
Go ahead.
I was going to say that it's probably worth mentioning that this reunion is like the six of us that were in the band when we broke up.
Okay.
They're not one of the larger larger formations of the band. You know, we're still buddies with Matty Foster, but Matt Foster's going to be on tour in Europe in April. So, you know, he's off doing his thing, and we're going to be doing our thing. So we love the guy, but this is we're looking forward to this as the six of us.
What are the details of the show? Because I mean, you know, we keep implying that there's a show happening, but we should probably let people know, you know, where it's happening, when it's happening, and then how they can get tickets if they're already left at this point.
Yeah, the Sub-City reunion is happening for one night only at the Park Theater on South Osborne, one of the best venues in the city
for sure.
Far. And it is happening April 13th. That's a Saturday. It's like the second Saturday of April. So less than a month, probably only a couple of weeks from when this comes out. And Paige Drabot is going to be opening with her band, Killer Three Piece. It does kind of like a psychedelic kind of 70s rock.
Definitely.
They're going to warm it up. And then Sub City's going to lay down. We've got 23 songs ready for you guys. I'm going to dance the night away, and the dance floor will be going from the first song. So April 13th at the Park Theater. And so tickets are on Ticket Web. I believe that's a .ca.
Cool. Well, I can link to it in the show notes, so people can, if you go into the Witch Police site to listen to this, I'll put a link to the tickets, and then people can get it right from there. The one thing I wanted to ask you, before we wrap this up, is how many of your previous records are still floating around out there? Like, do you guys still have boxes of all this stuff that you're going to sell the show?
We've still got some of each record that we'll sell at the show. We're kind of going to try and blow out a lot of them. There's only one that we have, decent amount of copies of left, but all the other ones are dwindling down. And so if you do want to capture, something to take home with you, not just something floating around on Spotify or something, if you want a piece of the band, we will have CDs and some vinyl for sale.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just the single that came out at one point, right? That 7-inch that you guys did?
Yeah, it was Gastown, a song we wrote on tour about the gentrification of the different cities we were passing through. And then on the B-side was Jerk Chicken Boogaloo. It's
cool.
A fun instrumental.
So I know that because you're not actively a band, you have social media, obviously, but what's the best way for people to hear the music now? I mean, if someone's hearing this for the first time and says, oh, I wonder who Sub City is, I want to check this out, what's the best option at this point? I mean, if they don't have the CD, where should they go? I assume it's on all the streaming.
Oh, we're on all the streaming services, as far as I know. I'm sure there's some new ones that maybe popped up in the last 4 years, but all the big ones we uploaded 4 years ago when we were about to do this reunion. And so they're on Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff. You could find
YouTube Music.
Yeah, right on. At least three full albums, and then an EP and a couple splits or singles, whatever you want to call them.
Cool. That's a pretty big catalog. Are you going to, this is obviously, maybe you haven't decided yet, but are you planning on recording this show just like even if it's just for posterity?
You know, it's so easy these days that, how can we not? There's the Park Theater has that capability, so we'll be recording this show.
Awesome.
I guarantee that. Don't somebody hear!
Soldiers say, hell's back and brewing.
the sergeant, sir.
Somebody hear the sergeant, sir.
Somebody.